Welcome, everybody, to the Live from the Code Bar podcast, recorded from the Code Theme Bar of Fenwood Manor. I'm your host, Robert. Today, we are doing a show unlike ever recorded before. Joining me are Quill, Compass, and Shadow, the creators of the new treasure hunt book called The Bookshop. The reason why this is a different podcast is because Quill, Compass, and Shadow have chosen to stay anonymous while this hunt is running. And so to help them keep their secret identities, I have pre-recorded my questions, passed them on to Quill, Compass, and Shadow, and they have recorded their answers using AI so they do not give anything away. So sit back, grab a drink from the bar, because tonight it's going to be one interesting discussion as we discuss The Bookshop. Welcome, Quill, Compass, and Shadow. Let's start off by having you introduce yourselves and talk a little bit about how you started your interest in puzzles and treasure hunts, codes, ciphers, everything in between.
Hello, Robert and Code Bar fans. My pen name is Shadow. Sorry, but you'll have to wait until the bookshop is solved for any further illumination.
Question two. How did you come up with the idea for the bookshop? And why did you decide on the idea to stay anonymous?
Quill, I had been previously working on an idea of my own for several months, but decided to reach out to two teammates who had just started working another puzzle together to see if they wanted to join in a new project. We came up with the story of Emily and the things she discovers inside an old bookshop as a way to celebrate the love of books and inspire people to visit bookstores. I particularly felt that hunts should have an educational element, and books are a great way to explore that.
Shadow, I'm not always the biggest fan of the stereotypical book hunt format. So when Quill asked if we had a few minutes free to hear her pitch, I figured I'd just be wishing her good luck on the endeavor. When I read the premise, I was instantly hooked. My imagination went into overdrive picturing all the ways I could weave puzzles through the bookshop.
Thanks, Rob. Yes, I'm the creator called Compass. I have always enjoyed playing games and doing puzzles of all different sorts. I started working on treasure hunts, particularly armchair hunts, because they allow me to work on them anywhere, at any time. The idea comes from our love of independent bookstores and wanting to celebrate the importance of reading and supporting our local bookshops. The primary reason to stay anonymous is privacy. Many people go to the point of researching the authors and invade their personal life. But that will not give any advantage with our book. We hope our anonymity brings a little mystery and fun to the hunt. We have disclosed our identities to the media sources in the community in order to facilitate the release of our information and also ensure accountability and trust. But again, this gives no advantage in the solving process.
What do you hope the readers and the hunters will get out of the bookshop?
Shadow, above all, I hope it is fun. We set out to make something unique, packing it with a variety of puzzles and clue delivery methods. I hope that we have succeeded in creating a hunt that is tough enough to stick around for a while, but also intuitive enough that searchers feel like they are consistently making progress.
Okay, here's a new one. How would you normally go about creating your puzzles?
Quill, there are many ways to create a puzzle, and since this project gave the opportunity to make all different types of puzzles for variety, I like to think of clever ways to link information and unique ways to clue in for the method of solve. Ultimately, puzzles are to make you think as well as provide entertainment, so I feel the best puzzles are also ones that can entertain and intrigue at the same time.
Shadow, for projects like this, I always start with the solution and then plan out what I need people to figure out to get them there. You might laugh, but sometimes I visualize something like a hopscotch board. I can't always predict the exact hops people will take, so I have to build in some redundancy or double squares to make sure people can make it to the end. It's taken hundreds of hours of designing to create the clue delivery methods. The design of an individual puzzle often evolves in surprising directions, even for the designer. Each successive version is created with a deeper understanding of the puzzle's possibilities. Most of the deliveries in the book were revised at least a dozen times before they were added. Yet, surprisingly, one of my favorites was created in a single take. I wonder if people will be able to guess which it is.
Any favorite puzzle types that you like to use?
Shadow. Nope, I like them all. Among the ones I've built, I have favorites. Some puzzles will turn out to have a little something extra. Maybe a little joke or a double entendre. It's great when little things like that present themselves. But the solution will often narrow down the range of puzzle type for me.
So how did you come up with the structure for this book?
Quill, we went through many ideas in the beginning, and at first we're going to have a boots on the ground hunt, but then we really wanted to be more inclusive, and we decided to make it an armchair hunt. We finally decided on 3 sections and a final meta puzzle, and it allowed us to split up the sections among us. We all contributed to the puzzles and clues, but each of us kind of oversaw 1 section each. I wrote the book text and was also in charge of 1 of the sections. Admittedly, it was not meant to be a masterful piece of writing, but just a structure to present the clues and puzzles. The front and back cover puzzles, we felt, would also set up the world and start off the fun even before you open the book.
Compass here. The book was structured with 3 distinct sections in mind, and the end ties them all together. We have a range of puzzles throughout the book. Our goal was to appeal to a wide range of puzzlers. There are some easy puzzles, as well as some unique and challenging ones.
What level and types of puzzles did you incorporate?
Shadow. All of them. Wink.
Is there anything that you would like to share about the process with other puzzle and treasure hunt creators?
Quill. It is a challenge to create a whole world for a puzzle when you're writing a story, as well as setting up puzzles. I'll definitely say it involves a lot of organization, and it's helpful to have more than 1 person involved. Our different puzzle styles were a plus. Always think about the entertainment factor as a benefit for the reader. There's adventure involved in a puzzle, and you want your reader to enjoy the process along the way, even if they don't solve the entire thing. We encourage people to pick it up even after it is solved, just to enjoy the solve process. I'd love to know also if you've ever thought about creating an armchair hunt, Rob? Maybe a Code Bar themed book?
This is Compass. Collaboration has been, by far, the best part of this experience as a creator. At times, we had different ideas that we shared with each other. After discussion, we were able to take the original ideas and make them better.
Shadow, a respected figure in the hunt world, once said, "If you love the hobby, give back by creating." This motivated me to push forward. If you want to create, you should. My personal philosophy is, the fastest way to make it big is to start out small. Find your style and learn your own strengths and weaknesses.
So where can people find out more information on the book? How will it be available? Is it print only or online as well? Is it armchair or boots on the ground? And even though you're choosing to stay anonymous, is there any way for the players to be able to reach out?
Yes, Rob. The book is available on Amazon. Just search for it there under the title The Bookshop, A Treasure Hunt. It is only offered as a paperback, and the price is $16.43. Our Instagram account is Quill Compass Shadow, and it's recommended to follow us there for any additional clues or updates along the way. We don't respond to any private messages on Instagram, though. All the other information is detailed in the book. Oh, and the treasure, of course, is a really beautiful wooden chest that contains an autographed copy of Masquerade, Goldback Bills, an 1825 coin, and lots of other wonderful things. There is a photo posted on our Instagram.
Is there anything else that you'd like to share with us tonight?
Quill, I'd love to add that there will be more to come from our team. We haven't decided exactly where the story will go next, or whether it will involve the same characters or not. But it's fun being the superheroes of the puzzle world, saving minds with entertaining puzzles. Life is too short to miss out on adventures, and books and treasure hunts are great outlets. We're trying to come up with a truly unique experience after getting our feet wet with this one.
Shadow, as a hunt designer, I worry about the future of the hobby creator niche. The independents who love the hobby and invest countless hours learning to create and publish hunts, and funding the prizes themselves, are motivated by the desire to bring entertainment and enjoyment to the community. However, the rise of super teams, often with members numbering in the double digits, is inadvertently making it much tougher on hobby creators. It becomes really challenging to find the motivation to invest months into creating a project, knowing that super teams can devote hundreds of man-hours a week to solving them, potentially cutting the hunt's duration and its contribution to the community significantly. I don't blame them for teaming up. It is a competitive hobby. But I hope they would consider working on super hunts as a team and hobby hunts as hobbyists. This way, creators will want to continue developing bigger projects, benefiting both the hobby and the winner's bank accounts.
And there it is, the first CodeBar podcast using AI help. Thank you so much to Quill, Compass, and Shadow for helping make this show possible.
Quill, thank you so much, Rob, for inviting us to come and talk about the bookshop here on Live at the CodeBar.
For all the information, including the links that you heard about in the podcast and some that were not mentioned, please visit the show notes. Please also like and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And can, if you can, please give us a rating and a review on the big one, Apple Podcasts, so it helps the show grow. And speaking of helping the show grow, why not become a show sponsor? For as little as $3 a month, you can help show your support and help us grow. Thanks for listening. And until next time, everybody, keep digging. Oh, you didn't think the podcast would end that quickly, would you? How about this? Sit back, grab another drink, and enjoy the prologue for the bookshop, as read by the authors.
Prologue. Infinitum Bookshop. Late one night in 2019, Howard, a middle-aged man, studies a worn sheet of coded text under the beam of a desk lamp. The lone light casts long shadows around him in the dark space. The steady ticking of a clock and the soft scratch of his pencil on the paper are the only sounds. Around him, tall bookshelves filled with hundreds of volumes stretch into the void. Their shapes form an eerie, labyrinth-like maze. He had been staring at the text and making notes for hours, but just as on many nights before, no progress was made in cracking the cipher. Time was running out, and his deadline was fast approaching. Suddenly, something clicked. He grabbed a book from a thick stack of reference tomes nearby. He flipped to a page at the back and pondered over the text. Soon, he was furiously scribbling in his notebook, writing out letters as fast as he could. When the page was completely filled with rows of letters and words, he let out a gasp. He had cracked the code. I can't believe it, he whispered to himself. Even though Carol was likely fast asleep in the upstairs apartment, he didn't want to make a sound. This discovery required immediate action. He had to make plans right away to assure the information was safely conveyed to his superior at just the right time. He also had to make sure to split up the pages of this source document and send them off to secure locations until they could be successfully retrieved by the right hands. 3 secure locations should be enough. He reached for his atlas and got back to work.